resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us this day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Father, we pray today, God, that that resurrection life would get deep within us and shake every bit of death, that we might be fully alive in your Spirit today. Lord, make us fully alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. But on the first day of the week, it's recorded in Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said unto them, "Why do you seek the living one amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words.
The Lamb of God in my place, your blood poured out, my sin erased, was my death, you died, I am raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God.
It was my death, you died, I am raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God.
Sing that last thing again. It was.
It was my death.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence today on this Resurrection Sunday when we celebrate that great and powerful event. Amen. The Lord is here and present in this place. Amen. Amen. He was here powerfully on Friday and Good Friday. We celebrated really, we got into resurrection joy on Good Friday, and I'm so glad. Then there's Saturday, Holy Saturday, it's called in some traditions, and in that time, it's often a downtime. It's often, it is usually a fasting time for some, and I always find it a little dark. It was a beautiful day, by the way, and many fine things took place, but sometimes it's a little dark on that Saturday, but what you got to get is that resurrection life every day. That resurrection truth, that resurrection power. And so I'm going to call us to turn to hymn number 217. And I want to remind us from this traditional hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. I want us to sing.
Pray together. Father, we just we thank you so much for giving yourself.
Yes, Lord.
Giving yourself so freely to us to save us from our sin, our bondage, the slavery that we were in. It says that we were dead to sin, but you rose again, overcoming death and giving us the opportunity to take part in that same resurrection. Yes. So Jesus, we just thank you. We celebrate you this morning. You are so good. You are so amazing, Father. So, God, we just we lift you up today. Mm. And I pray that you would just fill Pastor Bruce's mouth with your words.
Oh, Jesus.
Fill his heart with courage and strength.
Oh,
and Jesus. And put your spirit over him, Lord, just like a blanket. Let him communicate your truth this morning. And Father, I pray that your presence would fill this church. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Jesus, would you just walk up and down these aisles, just touching each heart this morning as they hear the word that you desire for them to hear. And God, I pray for those that aren't here this morning, that are maybe sick, that are maybe emotionally not at the right place, Lord. I pray that you would minister to those that are connected to Harmony but not here. That your spirit would go into those homes and those places, and you'd minister to their heart. And God, I'm so grateful that you're a God that is beyond these walls, that you go into the world, that your spirit is moving in lives all around us, in our families, Lord. As we've prayed for families, even in this morning, as those have prayed for their family members, Lord, I pray that you would answer those prayers, that God, that you would respond to the prayers of your church for our families, for our brothers and sisters, for our cousins, for our grandparents, for our parents. Lord, would you minister just in a powerful way this season, that you would open doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share why it is that we gather and celebrate together as family on this day. Lord, would you move in mighty ways and surprise us? I pray that you would surprise us, Lord. Surprise us that family members who are coming over, family members that we talk to, that they would be asking questions. They would be wondering what it is that you have. Why is it that you have so much joy? Why is it that you have so much peace? And that we would share the good news of Jesus. Father, move us. Move us to respond to what you have done for us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll read through this here, 667. The Christian's resurrection. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish man, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown imperishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen.
Amen. Be encouraged by the word of the Lord. Thanks. I want to, if you could join with me, looking in the word of God today in Luke's gospel and the 24th chapter. I read it earlier at the beginning of the service. I read the first 8 verses. And at the end here at this part of the service, I want to read the last 7 or 8 or so verses. Luke chapter 24, verses 44. Luke chapter 24, verses 44. Now he said unto them, these are my words which I spake to you while I was still with you. This is the resurrected Jesus speaking here. that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Lord, do it to us all. And he opened their minds. He touched their soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. He touched their soul. The presence of Christ and him speaking in our midst opens our soul. You want to understand the things that God has for you? You're in the right place. But allow God to speak to you. And he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we thank you, O God, for your most holy word. We thank you, Lord, that you are alive and present to open our minds to understand the Scripture. That, Lord, you are present here with us, that should our attitude be such that we are open to your voice, that you can come and make a difference in our lives today. That you can make a difference in that situation or this situation or whatever it may be, Lord, if we would just allow you to open our minds to the Scriptures. Lord, we thank you, O God, for resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, for the defeat of the enemy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone would say, amen. I got a little ugly last night. Yeah, I'm confessing it. I had a busy day and nothing happened the way it was supposed to. And I told Carol bugging me for bulletin information, not in a really nasty way, just the way she does it. Amen. And so... You know, and I'm telling her, what, 4 o'clock, 4:30, you know. I got nothing, sister. I said, I bet you it's about the resurrection, though. And Pastor Dan, we are doing a series on theological discussion, doctrinal discussion, and I do have an outline for the resurrection because I know what's coming ahead, right? And so I did have an outline based on a theological discussion on the resurrection. That didn't work. I just got kind of ugly with the enemy. Just want to see that devil in people's lives crushed. And so here it goes. So I went to the news. Here it goes. This week, Staff Sergeant Mark D'Alinar was on deployment in Afghanistan. He was a Green Beret. He was Special Ops. And he was part of what was called the Rangers, and their mission was to go into a province called Nangarhar, which is on the border of Pakistan, and there is a valley there where they are believed that the ISIS group of the whole rat race of terrorists have dug in. And his responsibility and his role and his orders were he was sent in to seek out the enemy, to expose the enemy. But unfortunately, in doing his duty as a soldier, in exposing the enemy, in going into that valley, which was rigged with IEDs, which are booby traps, basically, he ended up, Staff Sergeant Mark gave up his life. The result was, I watched it actually in the hospital on the monitor there when I was visiting doing different things. And the result is, of course, you know what the enemy does? They waste an awful lot of ammunition shooting in the air, I tell you, these people. Anyways, you know, they're yelling, they're shooting off in the air, you know, and they're just all excited about that, you know, a special ops guy has bit the dust. They're not shooting in the air today. I guess it might have been just the last straw. But 3 days after Sergeant Mark de Alencar gave his life, the U.S. dropped is what they have called the mother of all bombs. On the valley where ISIS had entrenched itself with booby traps and underground subterranean caves. The actual name of this weapon is Massive Ordnance Air Blast. Ironically, MOAB is the initials, and it is called MOAB as a acronym, which has biblical connotations to it, I'm sure. 21,000-pound bomb, equivalent to 11 tons of explosives, is the largest bomb, non-nuclear, ever used in the history of warfare. They've had this bomb, and they've had it in their arsenal for a number of years, since 2003, but they had never used it before. I repeat again, the enemy isn't shooting in the air today. The cave where the enemy had entrenched itself would have imploded, and all the subterranean caverns, this bomb is designed not to bring destruction above ground as much as it is that the waves of the explosion is to work itself downward and to destroy anything that is underground. That's the intention of this particular bomb. Friends, I can tell you another story how Almighty God sent His Son into the earth with a mission. And we crucified Him. But 3 days later, God dropped the largest bomb in history, one that was designed specifically to get into the ground, to get into the caves, to root out the enemy. And that enemy, friends, was death. I have a personal feeling, not a theological understanding, but a personal feeling that Satan himself was saying, I do believe we pushed him too far. In our hatred, in our anger, in our desire, and the hatred of Satan, the hatred of the demonic powers, and the hatred of sin in this world against the Son of God, against the pure image of God, Jesus said it himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The purity of the image of God. Satan himself, who had walked the hallowed halls of glory himself, would have recognized the imperfect implant of God Almighty upon his Son. Oh, and he was right there. Right where he could reach him. We have murdered the Son of God, and now God unleashed a great weapon. And we are defeated. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. It seems as though the powers of darkness were as dumb as the disciples. And that's hard to be, you know, because we're disciples and we know how dumb we are. Amen? It seems as though the powers of darkness were in the same situation as the disciples. They had witnessed the teachings. They had witnessed Jesus. They knew who he was. The Pharisees knew who Jesus was. Right? The religious leaders understood. I mean, Nicodemus himself, being an inside man, brought the inside scoop to Jesus one night and said, "We know that you're of God." Who's he saying when he said we? The religious leaders. And yet they still crucified him. It seems as though, and I'm being speculative, which is dangerous in the sermon, but it seems as though even the darkness, even Satan, even the imps of hell, it seems that everybody was taken for a loop by this whole deal. They got all the bandwidth, thought they could just push the Son of God out of the picture. Did the demons, who on several occasions publicly identified who Jesus Christ was, right? They did not understand the parables or the kingdom message that Jesus said, or the fulfillment of prophecy from the Scriptures. Friends, this gives me a bit of an insight into the confusion about the second coming of Jesus, because I think that the enemy is just as much confused in the state of trying to discern the times as much as the church seems to be. What is it that causes us not to hear God? I mean, to have Jesus there and have him tell you about the death and have him tell you about his resurrection and have him make it perfectly clear, and yet we go, "Yes, Lord, amen, hallelujah," and we don't get it. Well, a number of things. Fear. That blurs our mind from perceiving. Anger. That does it. You get angry, friends, and if you're angry at somebody, they can tell you truth right to your face, and you will not discern it because you're angry with them and you will not hear them. Your sin, of course. All these things, they present barriers from us understanding or hearing what Jesus is saying. I just want to refer, and I have the scripture here, for one of his parables. He began speaking to them in Mark chapter 12. A parable of the kingdom. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and dug a place for the wine vat and built a tower. And he leased it out to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at harvest time or vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed, a symbol of the prophets. Again, he sent another servant at him, and they threw stones and wounded him and wounded him in his head and sent him away, and they shamefully treated him. Verse 6, go ahead down there. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved son, he also sent his beloved son to them at last, saying, "Surely they will respect my son." But those vine dressers said amongst themselves, "Here comes the heir. Come, let us kill him, and then we'll gain the inheritance of the whole thing." So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Jesus said, "Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." If you keep reading after this, it says, "And the Jews became furious because they figured that he was talking about them." And guess what? He was. Now, some would say this kingdom parable is about the second coming, and absolutely, it is a second coming parable, but rather, it is a kingdom truth. And Jesus gave story after story and kingdom truth after kingdom truth. They still didn't get it. They needed the resurrection power. The mother of all bombs penetrated deep into the earth, tearing away the shackles of death and ushering forth our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the grave. And when he spoke in resurrection power, oh, his presence makes a difference. To us, it was a love bomb. But to the enemy, it was a tragic realization that they had been disarmed. That's another word for that is defeated. Do you believe that the enemy is defeated? Well, I'm glad you do. Because we sure don't live like the enemy is defeated most of the time. Most times we just live like the devil is at our backs, kicking us down the road, when the mother of all bombs has already been gone off. When the resurrection power, let me turn to Colossians chapter 2, the next text of Scripture. It's a good one to have in your Bibles, underlined, because it talks about some things buried with him in baptism, Paul refers to, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him up from the dead. Baptism, of course, is a symbol of going down under the water and being raised up again. And you, being dead in your trespasses and sin, the uncircumcised of your flesh, He has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements of the law that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. In it. What was the it, friends? The resurrection. It's almost like Jesus coming out of the tomb did a little dance and made a little fun of the devil and death, because you see, going back to the Garden of Eden, going back to the very beginning, what was the manifestation and results of sin? God Almighty said to Adam and Eve, if you sin, you shall surely die. I believe that there had been no death in the garden. Not until after sin entered in. And Jesus defeated death. The devil's biggest weapon is gone. Now, not all bombs are bad, right? I remember my wife dropped a bomb one day, a few weeks after we were married. Said, I'm pregnant. You know, there's some good bombs that went off. You know, there are some good things that really shake our world and go right down. But friends, we're talking about a love bomb, a glorious bomb that defeated the enemy, that went into every nook and cranny and cave in the spirit world and exposed all the works of darkness of the enemy. He has no place to hide in this world. He has no place to hide because it's all been exposed. So he now tries to hide in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Spiritually, it's done. Spiritually, it's been completed. The resurrection bomb has been dropped from heaven. What we need, however, friends, is that to understand that the enemy is on the run and he wants to dig into the caves and caverns of our heart and mind. What we need, friends, today is for the Father to send again the mother of all bombs, amen, to drive out the enemy in the name of the resurrected Jesus Christ from every corner of your heart, from every corner of your mind, from wherever it is that the enemy has tried to get in there and bring forth lies. And explode him out. Whatsoever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there are many times when you have experienced victory. Amen. When you would mention today, sister mentioned about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a bomb that goes off. And when we identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, I have witnessed myself many times. People have been set free of things in that act of obedience. And they longed things that they had longed for before, but it was gone. They experienced deliverance from darkness like they'd never been before, even though they had already been saved. But when that act of baptism, it was something that was wonderful and glorious. I have experienced people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a great exposing of the enemy in the areas of their heart and mind. And there was an explosion. And as the power of the Holy Spirit comes in manifest glory, there is a driving out of things that used to hinder them. And then they are now set free from those things. Amen. There is a time also I've noticed and experienced myself in deliverance. When there were issues of my heart and life that I couldn't seem to get victory over. And in times of prayer and seeking the Lord, oftentimes with the brothers and sisters in the Lord, praying with me or praying for me, I have experienced deliverance. And an explosion of resurrection power was released. And something was taken away. Some underground cavern of my heart was exposed. And the reverberation of the resurrection. Really, there only was one resurrection bomb, friends. It went off on the day when Christ arose. But friends, you can still get the waves. Oh, glory to God. You can still get the glory waves, amen. You can still get those sonic boom waves. You know that when an aircraft comes in and breaks the sound barrier, you can see that thing go, but then after a few seconds or whatever it is, there is a sonic boom. When a nuclear device or a great bomb goes off, there is the initial explosion, but then there is the waves that come after, friends. Friends, I'm still living in the waves of the resurrection bomb that God Almighty the Father had sent into this world. It needs to penetrate our hearts and minds. As the devil tried to dig in, as the enemy dug in, now how does the enemy dig in there, friends? Well, sometimes we're born. And there are areas, we're born in a certain valley, and in that certain valley, get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name, amen. Technical demons, amen. And sometimes we're just born in a valley, in a place. Ancestors, those before us, have allowed things that have been displeasing to the Lord, and there is still something there that we need to deal with later on, that we need to get set free from, to allow God to come in there and just let the reverberation of the resurrection come in and say, out in Jesus' name. It's done in Jesus' name. I don't care if Grandpa did it and Dad did it. I don't care what it was that they did in the past, but I want to be free from that thing. It stops today. It stops now. It's not going beyond here. Blow it out, Lord. Some people were wounded greatly in their lives through abuse, sexual abuse, physical violence, whatever it may be, rejection or whatever else, and the enemy has used that as a place in their heart to hold camp deep down, hidden. We call it an entry wound. And when, oh, we see it all the time, friends. And when everything's going well and the Spirit of God's moving and things are happening, all of a sudden somebody will get a spirit of offense and they won't want to play ball no more. And I get an email or a text or a Facebook message or a rock through my window. No. I'm a long way from the road. You know, they're really good. You know. And I realize that the spirit of offense, something has risen up. Usually it was there because of their own brokenness. So we don't get ugly with them because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, but it's sure easy to get mad at them. Sometimes some have moved in there when we were so occupied with other things that we allowed a gate open. Amen. You know, when you get busy, I mean, we have several gates on the farm, and when you get busy and you go off doing something and doing this and doing that, and you have five different things, there's a chance that I may have let one of the gates open. And if I leave a gate open, you can be sure that's where they're going to get out. The cows are going to get out. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world that we allow open things we allow the devil in. And then we find ourselves thinking things that we never thought before, saying things that we never would have said before. We begin to find ourselves angry or upset or fearful or something like that. And we wonder, where has that come from? It's because in our busyness we have not been soaking in the Lord. We have been neglecting, thinking we're fine because we're going to church. Still others once fought us. And when we got close to the victory, they said, we can't win right now. We're going to go away and come back some other day. And so they faked being destroyed. And they dug into a cave, waiting for a right time to come out. Friends, why do we fight the enemy with pitchforks and sticks when we have the mother of all bombs? Glory! Hallelujah! That wasn't in my notes. Amen. But you know, we're there, the pitchfork and the stick, and, you know, spitball, you know, at the devil and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he is defeated. Here's what a brother, I need to wind down because you all have lunch somewhere. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the Gibraltar of Christian evidences and the Waterloo, the Battle of Waterloo, of infidelity, said Evangelist R.A. Torrey, referring to military things of the 19th century. Which is more important, the message of the cross or the message of the resurrection? Well, some people do believe that the message of the resurrection is not necessary. But a dead Jesus without a living Savior would be a defeated faith. Paul said it himself in 1 Corinthians 15. He said that Christ be not risen to the dead. The whole thing is nonsense. Here's what one great author said this, James Montgomery Boyce. He said, the resurrection is the historical base upon which all other Christian doctrines are built, and before which all honest doubts must falter. If the message of the cross is the hope for the unbeliever, think about this, then the message of the resurrection is the hope for the believer. You see, get that through your head. It took me till about 11 o'clock last night to get that one. I'm not saying that the resurrection wasn't necessary in addition to the cross or that we had to add something to the cross to pay for sin. No. When Jesus died, when he said it was finished, listen, the check was paid. Amen? There is nothing more in addition to the blood that is needed to pay the price for sin. But to defeat the enemy, there was one last thing that needed to happen. Friends, if you're here today and you've not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then I direct you to the cross. I direct you to the cross. It paid for everything. Everything you'll ever need is taken care of and paid for in the cross of Jesus. I invite you, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to kneel before the cross. In your heart. And say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I accept your gift. I accept your offering of your blood shed for me. I recognize that on myself, in my own righteousness, I have nothing to offer. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. But if you're like many that are probably gathered here today and have accepted Jesus Christ, God bless you. Praise God. You've been taken care of. The Lord, the blood is sufficient. You've been, your salvation is complete. Oh, you've been taken care of well. You have no need of anything as far as salvation. But friends, if you have accepted Christ, you feel that the enemy has dug himself into your life, then you need to experience the power of the resurrection. The power of the gospel is the power to transform. There is a little song that we sing, contemporary song, that goes like this. It said, the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold him down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. Gonna make your praises loud. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Calling the praise team to come. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, you are the one who sent the resurrection power. You are the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. And every demon in hell, every demonic force, every dark corner of the universe said, we're done. We're defeated. Our greatest weapon has been taken away from us, death. And now, Lord God, I pray for every believer that is here today, that they would experience resurrection power. I pray that in every area, and friends, I'm just asking you now to be honest with yourself. Do you need to experience the resurrection bomb? Has the enemy dug himself in some area and you're not getting the victory? It's already been done. I'm just asking that you would allow God's Holy Spirit to reveal to you that area. In the presence of Christ, that your minds have been opened and you will understand what God is saying to you from the Scriptures today. And that you will not want one more moment of time to be wasted, as the enemy has control even over a little valley in your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, to close. Now, I'm going to make an offer today. We're going to close with a resurrection song. It's up there. Or you're making that transition. Pastor Dan is standing on hand, ready to pray, and he wants to pray for you to be free, and I'll be glad to pray with you, or others can be invited to come and pray for you. But if you have prayer, if you have a need today and you would like to experience some of that resurrection power, you can come and stand or kneel or whatever at the front. Here's a couple of guys that have experienced power today. God bless you today. He is risen. He is risen. Go with that benediction today.